morning, and welcome to Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer, your host for this program, where each week we look at the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today, we are going to be in Luke chapter 9, and we're going to look at verses 51 through 62 as Jesus leaves Galilee and is rejected by the Samaritans. Now, we are in a portion of our study that we are calling a year of development in and around Jerusalem. And so today, as we pick up in Luke 9, let's read beginning in verse 51. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them, and said, You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now as we begin to look more closely at our text today, I would suggest that we go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 before we do that, where Peter wrote, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Peter tells us that Christ has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. What does it really mean to follow Jesus? What difficulties are there to be encountered when one follows Jesus? With these things in mind now, let's go back to our text and back to verse 51 there in Luke 9. And the first thing we notice is that Jesus steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Notice verse 51. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. How did Jesus see Jerusalem? Notice Matthew chapter 20 and verse 18. In Matthew's account there, Jesus said, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priest and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death." Notice Mark's account in chapter 9 and verse 31. "For he taught his disciples and said to them, 'The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day.'" Now notice Matthew chapter 26 and verse 45. There, Jesus, he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners." Jesus, the Son of Man, would be betrayed to hostile enemies. Jesus, there that night in the garden, could see the angry mobs that lay ahead of him. Jesus could see the ugliness of the cross that lay ahead of him. Yet it was for this purpose that he had come. It said the time had come for him to be received up. Jesus had determined to go to Jerusalem. Jesus was set and determined to drink the cup that had been appointed to him. Jesus could see beyond the pain of the cross to the ultimate victory on the other side of the cross. Do you recall Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2? "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus could foresee the desolation of Jerusalem. Luke chapter 13 and verse 34. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." Recall the scene as Jesus neared Jerusalem in Luke 19 and verse 41. "Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it." As Jesus approached Jerusalem, he wept over Jerusalem and spoke of its desolation. Jesus could see that Jerusalem would be destroyed in the not too distant future, and others could not fathom that possibility. Jesus could also see the triumph of the coming kingdom of the Lord. He could see the spiritual Israel of the church. Jesus knew that he would reign in his kingdom on the other side of the cross. Jesus would soon be reigning in the kingdom, the church that he would build. Jesus had set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem. He was headed for the cross. He knew what lay ahead and was ready to face it. The path to victory is difficult, and it is hard. But Jesus was moving toward the victory. Let's go back to our text now and notice verses 52 through 54. And sent his messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? The disciples enter a village of the Samaritans to prepare for his arrival. The Samaritans would not receive him because his face was set for Jerusalem. Why would the disciples ask if Jesus wanted them to destroy the Samaritans? They would take that attitude because of their loyalty to Jesus. They were loyal, but yet their loyalty was out of the will of Jesus. We need to understand that we can be loyal, but still be in error at times. Jesus would not rain down fire and destroy the Samaritans. Instead, he would later send the apostles back with the message of salvation. They would be Jesus' witness unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, let's consider Jesus and James and John. Let's pick up again in verse 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In verse 57, that one said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. His desire was certainly to follow, but he did not truly understand what that road entailed at this point in time. Jesus replied to him that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords had nowhere to call his home. Jesus never owned a home and did not have material possessions of any note. We might think how sad that Jesus was without possessions, but also that also meant that nothing held Jesus back from being about his Father's business. How many of us are being held back today or restrained from our service or proper giving by unneeded material possessions, and our desire to have more than what we really need. Our possessions far too often become a stumbling block to our service to the King. Now, verse 59 begins, "Then he said to another, follow me." Jesus calls us to follow him. We cannot let the world stand in our way of following him. Oh, we can offer excuses, but that is all they are, just excuses. He said, the man replied back to Jesus, said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Just another excuse. This man's father might even have had many years left to live. Perhaps he was just not ready to leave the comfort zone of his current life. We can get very satisfied and comfortable with our situation and lose that feeling of necessity for fulfilling the work of the Lord. In verse 60, Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." This was not a disrespectful statement by the Lord, but simply pointing out that even our families should not hold us back from serving him. Even the closest loved one must not be allowed to come between us and Christ. Even the closest earthly bonds should be cut if it is a hindrance to following Jesus. Now notice verses 61 and 62. "And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." We cannot let anything hinder us from serving Jesus, even for a moment. Again, verse 62 said, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." No farmer can plow a straight line looking back. No Christian can set their sights on the kingdom of heaven if they are looking backward. We would do well to recall Mrs. Lot. And now, let's consider, as we wrap things up today, the things that Jesus demanded he had done. Foxes have holes. Jesus did not set his sight on earthly things. Recall the words of the hymn we sometimes sing. "This world is not my home. I am just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Do you recall when Jesus was 12 years old and his parents had lost him? And when his mother Mary located Jesus, he told her that he must be about my father's business. Jesus had now set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he was not going to look back. My friend, have you set your face to go to heaven? Are you going to look back or keep moving forward? The choice is yours. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope that our time together has been edifying for you. I have certainly been encouraged by your presence. If the Lord wills, we'll see you again next week at this same time as we continue our study. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening and also will be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a wonderful day.